To the end of Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Again, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Dalet. Koy Omar Hashem al kol shechenai horoim hanoigim benachalo asher hinchalti es ami es Yisrael. So says Hashem to all of the evil neighbors. Okay, the shechenai horoim, all of my evil neighbors. That we first proceed Rashi to Amoin Moav. Mitzrayim, we'll see a whole long list of nations that surrounded Eretz Yisrael. Hanoigim benachala, who touch, simply means that they are physically adjacent to my inheritance, to Eretz Yisrael, asher hinchalti es ami es Yisrael. And Hashem says to them, to Yirmiyah, hinini no sisham meyalad masam, they will also go into exile. Hashem says, I will uproot them from their land. V'yesbeis Yehuda etosh mitoicham, and I will uproot the Jewish people, mitoicham. Now mitoicham means from their midst, which basically means together with them. And the simple meaning of the pasuk here, you'll see the Mefarshim, is that Hashem is saying that not only will the galus, will the Churban come to Eretz Yisrael, it will come to all of the surrounding neighbors. And the reason being is, they should not have an opportunity to take joy in the suffering of my people. When Nebuchadnezzar comes to destroy Yerushalayim, even though that was his crown jewel to conquer Yerushalayim, do not think that you're going to celebrate the downfall of the Jews. You also will go to Golus with them. You also will be exiled. And therefore, that's why we describe here with the expression, Yesbeis Yehuda etosh mitoicham, they'll be uprooted mitoicham from their midst. Everyone is going to be relocated together. So let's see the mitzvot David. Pasuk Yudalid. Shechenai horoim, the evil neighbors. Shechenai eretz Yisrael horoim, the evil neighbors. Hanogim l'ra'ob, who touch. Now he titled Hanogim means the Mitzudos is adding a word into the pasuk which it does not say. Who touch l'ra'ob. He does not translate Hanogim menachlo to mean that they are physically adjacent. There's a degree of proximity. That's not what it means. It means that they touch, they harm. They bring harm my people, l'ra'ah, for evil. They talk, b'nachlas Yisrael, they attack, they harass the Jewish people. Hashem says concerning these nations, hinani, no sisham, e'ekoro sami admasam, I'm going to uproot them from their land, l'leches l'gold, go into exile, v'yesbeis Yisrauda, v'gam. The Mitzudos is adding a word to the pasuk of Gam. Also, base Yehuda and Karmita Chamal upward from their midst. Lefisha Akum Haheim Shechnim Sevivos Eretz Yisrael. Now he's explained this unusual expression. What do you mean from their midst? Because these nations, the Akum, these nations, they are surrounding the land. Lachain Amar Etosh Mitacham. So to an observer, it appears that the Jewish people are being uprooted from the middle, from the center of these nations. Rashi Shechenai Shech. Shechenai horoim. I don't know. Rashi over here has a mole. Shechenai horoim. Mitzrayim, Amoin, Umoyov, Vitzor, Vitzidoin, Shehein, Shechenai Eretz Yisrael. These are the nations which were the neighboring nations. All of these nations are always the subject. Yudalid. Rashi, I'm sorry. Rashi Yudalid. These are the nations. Mitzrayim, Amoin, Moyov. Tsar, Vitzidon, these nations are always subject to prophecies. In Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, and Yeshayah, and in the Troyosra as well, there are some prophecies. These are the neighboring nations, Tsar, Vitzidon, Mitzrayim, Amon, Moav, especially the worst of them all was Amon, Moav. They were the worst. Shahayu Shechen Eretz Yisrael, Machzikim, my son, caused them great harm, and they are going to be uprooted together with Klal Yisrael. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Yedalud, Koyam Hashem al Kol Shechenai Horoim, Heim Pilishtim. So here we have an addition. In fact, here in the article, he adds this in. This does not say in Rashi, but he includes also the nation of Pilishtim, V'amoyin Umoyov, V'tsor, V'tsidoin, Shahayu Shechenim L'Eretz Yisrael. These are all the neighboring nations, V'hayu Miriim Lohem, and these nations caused the Jewish people pain. The Amar Shechenai, they're called neighbors. Ki Yisrael Heim Nachalosai V'Charmai. Hashem is saying they're my neighbors. The pasuk over here is Hashem is speaking about Himself. These are my Shechenai, my neighbors, because Hashem considers Eretz Yisrael to be His inheritance. The Hinei Heim Shechenai, and therefore these nations that surround me are my neighbors. Hanoigim. Perush lehora. The Medak is learning the pasuk like Rash, like the Mitzudos. Negim does not mean physical contiguous proximity, but negim means that they negia, they touch, they inflict harm, damage. V'chem ki hanogah bochem, a pasuk in Zechariah, which also hanogah be'ish hazeh, you have other pasuk in Zechariah and Bereishis, ketargum, which means the yi yaznik, and as well, that's what the Targum translates, that cause harm. V'chem hanogim, the man zikin, loshen of nezek, that's another pasuk, which is according to the Targum, which means they cause physical harm to the Jewish people. So Hashem says, what's going to become of these nations? Hineni, I know she shom. I think there's a mistake in my text over here. Hinni, I have over here. Hinni, I have over here with a pay. What do you have in your edition, in the Radak? I have here, nope, Shom. Do you have a difference? Pasuk Yudal in the Radak. No, Shom, with the Suf, right?
No, pay.
A pay. Okay, so I don't know how that crept in there, because that's not what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Hinni, no, se, Shom. For some reason, there is an error, there is a mistake in the Radak, and both my edition and your edition seem to preserve that error, or maybe the Radak had a different girsa in the pasuk, which is not so uncommon. It's not so uncommon to find that the exact words of the Nevi'im are, the Messiah is not 100% like it is with Chumash. Gam heim yiglu, they will be uprooted. Gam heim yiglu, they will be uprooted. Miami, what's the point of this pasuk? What's Hashem trying to address? What is He trying to convey to these nations? Lefichach al yismuchu legaloisam. Don't take joy. Don't take joy in exile, being a participant in the crime of exile in the Jewish people, because your day will come as well. Etoyish mitaycham. In addition to the umos being uprooted, I'm going to uproot my people from within their middle. Oysam shagalu mi beinehem. Those that are exiled mi beinehem, etoy tzmitoycham. Now, so here he's learning an entirely different interpretation. B'shuvi shuvosami. So Radak is learning not like the Mitzudos, and he translates these last words. Obviously, he's disturbed. He's disturbed with the same question of the Radak of the Mitzudos. What does it mean? This basically etosh. I will uproot mitoycham. From their midst. What do you mean from their midst? So the Radak Mitzudah said, to an observer that sees these nations surround Eretz Yisrael and witnesses the exile of the nations plus Eretz Yisrael. So it's viewed that Eretz Yisrael is mitaycham from their center. The Radak obviously was not satisfied with that interpretation. Therefore, he says that means after the exile is concluded and the Jews find themselves dispersed over the world, Hashem now says the day will come when I will uproot them from among the nations, Kibbutz Golias, and they will be returned to Eretz Yisrael. Gam oysam shagolim b'im etoyis mitzcham b'shuvi, when I return, shavusami, when I return. Now this pasuk is a very important pasuk, it's a very famous pasuk, very famous chazal. It's the beginning of everyone knows it, because everyone starts Daf Yomi with a new cycle, at least for a few days. And Daf Ches, a Masech de Brachos, is this pasuk applies to a person that does not step foot into a shul, a local shul. If you have a shul on your corner, koyamar Hashem amu yud gemara. What does this pasuk mean? Amar Reish Lakish, call me sheyesh loy beis hakneses v'iroi. If there is a beis hakneses in your city, v'einoi nichna sham lehispalel, and you never step foot in the shul to daven, nikra shochein ra. You're called an evil neighbor. Shenemar. This pasuk, Koyemar Hashem al kol shechenai horoim hanoigim binachala ashen chalti esam yes Yisrael. So says Hashem concerning the evil nations that touch my nachala, and my nachal. Every beis haknesses is the nachalas Hashem, and if you don't step foot into the beis haknesses, at least occasionally, you're called a evil. What?
Pasuk says,
"Hanoygim
benachla."
He's avoiding. It's a Jewish. I guess it means it's adjacent. It means my evil neighbors. Let's assume the Gemara, when the Gemara makes this drasha, Hanoygim means it means you are near. You are in the physical proximity. proximity of the Beis HaKnesses, you're nogea.
That's the only one in the neighborhood?
That's the only one, so... Okay, so it's interesting. I remember there was a certain person, he holds himself to be very big Talmud Chacham, and he was like bragging, I never stepped in this shul ever. Why would you want to say that? One thing, okay, you don't want to go into that shul, it's not your hashkafa. But it's a pasuk. The pasuk says.
Yeah, but I think in those days you had one
Beis HaKnesses.
And the shul.
So today you have Okay.
One shul and the rest were shtibl. Like you went to Barabaket, you didn't daven at the Sfaradish shul.
What does the word shtibl actually mean?
A room.
It's called bedafka make their thing called a room because Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash has kedusha, and we unfortunately do in our bate kedushas bate midrashos things that are technically forbidden, to talk, to eat, to have meetings, to make announcements, community announcements. This week there's going to be the Israeli Day Parade. Are you allowed to make that announcement in the Beis HaKnesses? It's not so simple. You can do something like that.
Okay,
it's okay, but even that, it's not so posh. So therefore, in order to avoid all of these issues, we don't give the Beis HaKnesses the status of a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. It's just a room. It's a room. It's nothing more than a room. So therefore,
the rabbi, the rebbe lived in the house, and
that's also a problem. You know, if it's a real Beis HaKnesses, you can't live there. There's too much kedusha. You can't live on top of the Sefer Torah with this Sefer Torah. It's not so simple. It's just a room. It's a room, so you can eat, you can drink, you can have a kiddush, you can have a meeting, you can read the newspaper, you can talk a little Lashon Hara, you can do whatever you need to do. You can do whatever you need to do in the Beit, because it doesn't have the full kiddush of Beis HaKnesses. But this pasuk is something not to be taken lightly. It's not so bad once in a while to pop in, you've added to a kiddush, another shul, not so bad once in a while to show you hold from them. You're not going to avoid the people. You have to be...
What's the eating to stop and eat shtibl in the neighborhood?
It takes a whole year. There are more shuls. Unfortunately, it wouldn't work. There are more shuls than there are days in the year here in this neighborhood. So it's not even possible. It's not even possible. But all right, whatever it means, take it for what it's worth. But this is the famous Chazal. And that's next pasuk. Pasuk test of the Hoya Acharei. Now this pasuk goes on to say Hoya Acharei no sishi oisam. After I uproot them, Oshuv, I uproot them from their lands. The simple interpretation of this pasuk is that we're referring to the Umma Solom, that they're also going to suffer and go into exile. Amoin and Moav and Mitzrayim, everyone's going to be uprooted from their home country, and that's exactly what Sancheirev did, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar did. This was a very, very, very common technique. What?
Stalin did that.
Stalin did that. There's a common technique in order that you should not feel comfortable. If you're not, you have to be uprooted. It takes many years, it takes decades until you finally feel settled where you'll start making trouble. In order not to make trouble, first you uproot people. They're bewildered. They don't have time to start challenging the authority.
Yeah, that recently Gush Katif.
Well, that was a whole different story. That's a whole different story.
No, but I'm saying they uprooted the people then. Takes some years to recover.
Absolutely, until you settle down. After Hashem says, now this is very fascinating, after I will uproot these nations, Oshuv, I will return, V'richamtim, I will have compassion upon the nations, and these nations will be restored to their land. What's very difficult is that we've seen historically that it did not happen, that these nations never came back. Today there's no such thing anymore as Ammon and Moab. Doesn't exist. The nations do not exist. Ammon and Moab. What about Egypt? To some degree, also not. But there, you can at least say maybe. So the commentators deal with this issue, and they're going to say that this nevuah that is written here in this pasuk Tezvav is conditional based upon what it says in pasuk Tezvav. So let's actually read that pasuk. V'haya here means there's a condition attached. If you do want to come back to your homeland, if Ammon and Moab and Mitzrayim and Tsar and Sidon, all of these nations do want to one day come back to your homeland and reestablish yourself, there's one condition. When you go into Golis, you're going to be mingling with the Jewish people. Everyone's going to be all amongst themselves. Yirmiyah tells them, learn from the Jewish people the ways of Hashem. Doesn't mean you have to convert, but at least you should have some appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if you do take some of their moral values, then, and only then, will you be guaranteed the bracha of what it said in the previous pasuk that you will return. Historically, they did not. The different madregos, different degrees. The midrashim that discussed different degrees. Edom, from all of the nations, was the only one that fully, that, I don't know, fully, but to some degree did learn from the Jewish people. They did learn belief in God. They did learn about Bris Milah. They did learn some moral values. And for that reason, they were able to return and reestablish themselves. Unfortunately for us, we were not doing Hashem's will. So they then became the instrument of Hashem to bring us punishment. But they did...
Islam
what?
They can extend.
Yeah.
Borrowing our
Jewish
practices.
So you want us to be also so, but that's okay. In Islam, so who is Islam? Which nation is that over here? Over here, it talks about.
It's a religion.
It's a religion, but see, over here we're focusing, interesting, according to Rashi and the Mitzudos, Tzidon, Tsar, Mitzrayim, Amoin, Moyaf. Okay, let's see what it says over in the Pasuk. Let's read Pasuk Tez Zayin. The Haya, Hashem makes a condition. In Lamod Yilmidu. If you, the nations, will learn and study es darkei ami, the ways of my people, the Jewish people, in other words, lihishoveya b'shmich chai Hashem, to learn to swear in the name of Hashem, to swear by Hashem's name, kasher, not necessarily, it doesn't even say that. It does no less. And here, when it says to swear in Hashem's name, it basically means just a basic awareness that there is a God, that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. In God we trust, that's right. In God we trust. Look, today, when you go to court, you have to swear on the Bible, or at least affirm. You have to do something. That's a remarkable thing. Maybe it comes from this. We don't know all these things. Those days, they knew Navi, they knew Nach, like better than we know anything. Even the Goyim knew to some degree, they knew Nach. It says, if you will learn from the ways of my people, lihishaveya. What? They still do. Okay. So darchei ami lihishaveya b'shmi, to swear my name chai Hashem kaasher. Now here, this is very interesting. At least to the degree kaasher limdu esani lihishaveya baboal. Just like you taught my people to swear by your avodah zarah in the not good days, in the bad old days, then v'nivnu, then I will guarantee you the bracha. Here is the clause that goes back to the previous pasuk. Only then will you be reestablished b'sochami, in my people, when my people, they are returned to the land. Now let's just summarize what's going on over here. Hashem is saying over here that in the past years, why did the Jewish people worship idols? How did they even know about idols? Their heritage is a heritage of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How did they even know? Many times, unfortunately, you hear these stories where children get caught up in doing things that they should not be doing. And the first question is, how do they even know about these things? You have to know about it. So the end is always the internet. That's like the internet. Today you have one
story.
What?
Bar story. How do you know what a bar looks like?
Right, exactly. How do you know what it looks like? Well, I know from television. But how do you know? Well, how do you know?
Cheers.
Very good. Very good. That's right. That's right. Cheers. Cheers. Very good. What's the thing called? Taxi also? Was that? Nice to know. Cheers.
Cheers.
You never heard a television show? Cheers. Okay, so how do you know? How do you know these things? So the end, Claudius show, you know how they know about it? How do they know that the Baal? Because the Baal was the Avodah Zarah of the neighbors. Amon, Moav, Mitzrayim, Tsar, Sidon, they worship the Baal. That's what they do. They have different varieties of the Baal, but that was the Baal. So they taught Klal Yisrael, you should also worship the Baal. And one thing led to another, and Klal Yisrael, not only did they learn, they expanded upon it. And they perfected. That's what it says in Farish. It says they ad kedei kach, they became the biggest expert. They became the biggest experts, and if then the umos ha'olam, they would come to Eretz Yisrael to learn about. But it all started because the umos ha'olam were the ones who taught Klal Yisrael about the Baal. So Hashem now says, if you want to survive, we have to have the roles have to be reversed. When you're all going to go into Golis, Klal Yisrael together with the Umos HaOlam, and when you're there, if you want to survive, the key to survival is learn from Klal Yisrael. They're going to certainly do tshuva. That's a guarantee. When the Jews go into Golis, we know that as a fact, they abandon the worship of Avodah Zarah. That's a given. And they did tshuva. And they started talking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem says, now's the opportunity that you, the Umos Olam, have to come back to your land. Go to the seminars. Go to their classes. Learn about a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If you will learn from them about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the same way they learned from you about Baal, when you were back in your homeland, then when I return them to their homeland, I will return you to your homeland as well. But if you don't take advantage of this opportunity to go learn from the Jewish people about Hashem, then they will go back to their homeland because they will be doing tshuva, but you will not go back to your homeland. Only then will it be v'nivnu b'soichani. Let's do one more pasuk. Pasuk Yitzayin. V'im lo yishmohu. And if you're not going to listen to my advice, when I'm advising you, then v'no sashti, I will uproot es hagoy hahu, that nation, nososh v'abe, two expressions which mean together utter obliteration. You will be wiped off the face of the earth. There will be no record that you even existed. And indeed, that is the case. Just to a large degree, especially with Amun and Moav, we know nothing about them almost. And they don't exist today. You never heard of something unique about the nation of Amun and Moav. Nu'um Hashem, so says Hashem, is likewise Tsar and Sidon. What do you know about Tsar and Sidon? They have anything unique? Today it's Lebanon. Well, I mean, the Tsar Lebanon pretty much for us is a whole new country. I don't think there's any zecher of Tsar with Sidon. And that's what it says. Now let's see over here the mitzvot start for these three psukim together. Pasik, starting with Pasik Tesvav. Ashuv v'richamtim. So the pasuk says that the day will come when after I uproot them, I will have. Hashem says there's a possibility that after I uproot you from your land, I will have rachmanis upon them. Es kol hakivushim af min ha'akum. I will have rachmanis upon everyone. Everyone that has been conquered, even the goyim, Eretz Yisrael certainly, and even Amun, Moav, Mitzrayim, Tzor, Sidon, and the Pelishtim. But there's a Tanai, and the Tanai is the next pasuk to Zayin, im lamod yilmidu, im ha'akum. If the nations of the world yilmidu, they will learn darki ami lehamin b'Hashem ulehishaveyal bi. To swear, to have faith in Hashem, and to swear in His name, loymar, to say bishuasam chai Hashem, like you said, in God we trust. It's not so simple. It's a very big schus for the country. Every dollar bill, every penny, every coin. It says kasher b'tchila limdu heim. Limdu, just like originally, limdu heim esami lihishava babal. If you don't understand what it means to learn, you do understand very well what it means, and because you were the teachers once upon a time. Don't say you don't know what it means, what education means. Don't tell me you don't say you're barbarians, you have no understanding of education, because you were the teachers. And what did you teach? You taught idol worship to my people. Then, vinivnu, here's the key word of the mitzudos, oz. Oz is a tanai. You have to fulfill the condition. Oz den yiyu benuyim umiskaimim b'seichami ritzon eloymar doimim v'shavim lami. You'll be similar to my nation. You will exist. You will continue to exist like my nation. Pasuk Yitzayin v'im lo yishmu lil moed me'am me'ami emunas Hashem v'en den v'nos sashti oz e'kar shuv oisam. So here he adds something very interesting, which it's not really clear where he's getting all these diyukim. Then he seems, I will a second time uproot you, which seems to imply that I'm going to let you go back home no matter what. I will let you go back home. Maybe according to the Mitzvot, what he means is that the time that you're going to be instructed to learn, I think that's what he means to say is, I'm going to I think what it means to say is, you go back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk as Vav says, "V'hayachrin nashias oisam ashuvri chamtim." I guarantee everyone's going to go back home to their homeland, but there's going to be a new cycle of galus. And in this new cycle of galus, the only ones that will not go into galus in the second cycle are the people that learn from Klal Yisrael to have faith in Hashem. If you, when you are returned and you go back home, you do not learn from Klal Yisrael, then you will be exiled a second time, and this time it's going to be complete obliteration. You'll be destroyed forever. Okay, let's see Rashi, these three psukim. Pasuk tes vav, ashuv v'richamtim, kuloi laku samach luchem nabayis. Rashi tells an historical fact that all of these nations, Amon, Moab, Mitzrayim, Tsar, Tzidon, according to the Radak, the Plishtim, they were all conquered at the time of the Churban. Ubikulam Nemar, and concerning all of these nations, Hashem says, Veshavti Yeshvus B'Sefer Zeh, Hashem says, you will all be restored. But even after you're restored, you should be aware there's going to be another round of exile. And that's going to depend upon the people who learn Hashem's ways. Im lamodi yilmedu, im yaminu ba Hashem. It's all you need. Then v'nivnu loshen binyan, you will be built up. It doesn't mean you have to convert to Yadlus. Does not say that anywhere. Does not even say the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach. All it says, so you have to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and swear by His name. Let's see the Radak. Radak pasik tes vav. V'haya will be. Ashuv yirichamtiya k'moy sheniba aleim yirmiyahu k'sheniba al galusam niba gamal shuvam. Just like we're going to have later on in the Sefer, we're going to have many prophecies that were directed directly against, in regard to a specific nation. So too, Hashem is prophesizing that they're going to be returned. K'moy shenemar v'shafti shuvus moyav yachav v'yom yachavichinu shuvus shuvus bnei amoin. Amoin and Moav will be restored. V'yomar. And here the Radak explains, Kikis Shavu Yehuda ben Yamin Bigolus Bavel, Shavu Gamheim. When they will come back 70 years later, all of these nations will be returned. But you better watch out. The second time around is going to be different. V'haya im, V'haya kama, Ezdar Ke'ami, make sure you learn from the ways of my people. Now I don't know what this means over here. Hadalis Mamedes Be, you know what this word is? I don't know what this means. Bigaya, the Hamasara. You know what this is, Rebbe? I have no idea what this means. The Dalid of Darke, the ways of my people. The Dalid Mamedes. Okay, let's leave it. I don't know what it means. B'shmichai Hashem. Hashem demands that they swear in Hashem's name. Kimi'esh sheshavu Yisrael migolusam lo'avdu akum. When Klal Yisrael returned at the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was no avodah zara for one very simple reason. The Anshei Knesset HaGadolah was mevatel the Yetzahara for avodah zara. V'lo nishba b'bal. V'im heim yilmedu d'rochav b'zeh v'zeh. And if the umos ha'olam will learn from Klal Yisrael, who bitul akum, if they'll learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and stop worshipping idols, that will be the bitul of avodah zara. Kasha limdu ki b'emes Yisrael lelamdu la'avodah zara mekiyim mishchineyem. Because over here the pasuk is testifying that Klal Yisrael, the only reason why they worship idols is not because they thought of it on their own, it was because of the influence of their neighbors. V'nivnu b'soichami ki harbe nis. Now here the Radak says something that does not explicit in the pasuk, that if these nations will learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nivnu simply means that you will be established, you will live in your original countries, in Amon, Moav, Tsar, Tzidon, Mitzrayim, Plishtim, you live there, and you will be happy, you will be established. The Radak is going deeper, you will convert, you will convert and you will become incorporated into Eretz Yisrael. Harbe niskayru mehem b'shuvam migolusam. There were many goyim that converted at the time of the kibbutz Golias. V'shchena v'shochnai, and they actually lived in Eretz Yisrael. B'sach b'nei Yisrael. V'nivnu yilham binyan b'neihem. There will be a binyan. They will have an amida. What does it mean? It means kilemer amida v'kim. They will have an existence in Klai Yisrael. V'chein tegum yonis and v'yiskaimun. They will exist. But pasuk is, but let's say they aren't there. If not, then if they don't knock any fail, then they're going to be uprooted a second time. The pasuk says, the pasuk is zayin v'nosashti esagoy hahu nososh ve'abed, a complete obliteration. Shlo yeshuvu oili artzam umash oimeruas bnei amon v'yachrichein oshuvu shavus bnei amon. So this is a question: what's going on over here? But it says later on, even in Perek Mem Tes, that it says that they will be restored. There's another pasuk that indicates it's going to be definitely going to be a restoration. No, that's only oisam shalomdu darkei Yisrael o adayin lo shavu. Or a dying lo shavu kedive, or so it means one of two things. Either it means that it's limited. That pasuk later on that says that the Amon will be restored, it only refers to individuals, but as a whole nation they did not do tshuva, and that's why that prophecy was not fulfilled entirely for the nation. Or what it means is the day has not yet come. We're waiting for Mashiach, and at the time of Mashiach, then indeed the nation of Amon will be reconstituted. That's what it says. Oh, adayin lo yishavu, Amon has not yet returned. Kidivrei Rabbi Yoshua b'machlukusoy shel Rama Gamliel b'berachos. I'm not familiar with the Gemara, but it seems what he's saying over here is that the Nevuah has not yet been fulfilled, and the day will come when indeed these nations will be restored at the time of Mashiach. So therefore, it's not a contradiction when we look at history and we see that they have disappeared off the face of the earth, and we have a pasuk later on at the end of the Sefer that says they will be restored. Either it means only Yechidim, which did come back and became part of Klal Yisrael, or the Nevuah as a nation did not yet come until Mashiach will come. Alright, so this concludes this section. What's unique about these psukim that we learned over here from Koyomar, from Rosh Yudal, the end of the pasuk, is something which we don't really think about. If you don't learn Nach that much, you don't really come across is that the Nevi'im had a very significant impact on the Umos Olam. We're very, we think the whole world... What?
We're Judeo-centric.
We think the world revolves around us. And it does. Rightfully so. But guess what? There are other people out there also. There are other nations, there are other worlds out there, and they have a lot of importance to Hashem as well. Hashem, everything Hashem created is significant, is important in His eyes, and the Nevi'im served a major role for the Umos Olam. And they were very popular. It could be they were more popular by the Goyim than they were popular by us. The Umos Olam, the Nevi'im, were not very successful in Klal Yisrael, but their words were taken with a lot of interest by the nations of the world. And you see here a couple of psukim here expressing this example in relation, giving them some musar and giving them some hadracha, the nations that surrounded Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Chorban. Okay, now we go to an entirely new parent, new idea, new theme. We're going to go to now a series of mishalim. Okay, this is like something a little different. Koyamar Hashem Eli, so did Hashem say to me, Holoich, I want you, Yirmiyah, I want you to do something that appears bizarre. And you should do this. We'll see the in Radak, it's Machlokes, did he actually do this? Or did everything that we see over here happen to him in a dream? And this Machlokes that we're going to have here is really a Machlokes that you by even the Akedah to some degree. There are some of the events, not all, but some of the events that are described in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, there are Rishonim, major league Rishonim, that say it didn't really happen. It was a prophecy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham, and Avraham had a vision, and this is what he saw in the vision, but the event did not actually happen. Now, you got to be really careful, because you talk like that, that's bordering on apikorsis. So you got to be...
Did they think that the Nevi'im were not on the level of being spoken to directly? No, it's among the madrigos of the Ruach, vision is one, and then
I don't know. This is
another.
I have no clue. I don't know. I really have no idea. I don't know. I'm just generalities. I really have no clue what this is all about. But I just want to prep you for what we're going to see now in the Radak with the Rambam. And this event that's written over here did not happen. And this is not a new thing. This is something which we find even in Chumash. But in Chumash, of course, you have to be much, much more careful. Much more careful. And
you thought that the Akedah was in a vision?
I don't remember which specific event. Could be that also. I mean, is that such an opinion? Okay, a legitimate opinion. Not something, not a conservative reform.
No. Did they get away with it?
What?
Did they get away with this thing?
To a large degree, not. Because that's not the Messiah. If you go in yeshiva, they don't teach that to children in yeshiva. That's something which should you ever discover, you'll discover later on. And so it's obviously something that has not been accepted in Klal Yisrael. It lacks a certain.
It's not mainstream.
So it's not mainstream. So we don't.
No, Hashem was testing him just to see in his thoughts what he doing.
What does that mean? We don't understand what these means. It's not something that we understand. So we try to stay away from that. But over here in the Vim, then there's much more. They're much more open. The Mefarshim are much more open to things that, like we're going to read now, that never really happened. I think the more classic example is Hosea. Hosea was told to marry a zonah. You're not allowed to marry a zona, especially when Hashem says to do things which are halachically forbidden. He was a kohen, and a kohen's not allowed to marry a zona. He married her, and then he had children from her. And Hashem says, divorce her. And he says, I can't divorce her. I can't afford alimony. I can't. That's really what he says. You know, I'm married, I'm stuck in this marriage, and there's nothing I can do about it. I just can't divorce her now, even though I never wanted to marry her to begin with. But that's the way life is. So Hashem says to Hosea, well, that's how it is with Klal Yisrael. I got into a relationship with them, and it's not all... not all, what's the hunky dory? Is that the expression? It's not all hunky dory, and therefore, I just can't divorce them at this point in time. We have children together, Hashem says. I can't divorce them. So what are you coming to me and telling me I should go and I should give them a safer krisus? So did that really happen? So there, the Mefarshim are much more liberal. They're much more open. No, it never really happened. It was just a dream. Because halachically, you're not allowed to do this. So you can't go tell me Hashem told you to do something in Shloika Halacha. So there, just like in that mice, a lot of the stories that are written in Nevi'im, the Mefarshim are much more, it's lighter, it's easier for them to say that the event never really happened. It took the liberty to say it never really happened. That is a discussion. But let's just see what it says here. But let's begin now. Let's just see, come through a few so to get an idea of what's going on. So did Hashem say to me, I want you to halach, to go travel. In other words, do this publicly. Just don't go to a local store in the basement. I want you to go and search every single store. And when you walk into the store, make an announcement. My name is the Yirmiyah Hanavi. I'm here to buy a belt. Do you have a belt? And try it on, and then say, no, it doesn't fit. Let me try on another belt. And go through all the belts in the store. Everyone's going to be watching. What is this guy doing? And then you go to another store, and another store, and another store. And by doing this, you're going to draw the attention of the entire Klal Yisrael, and this will be for them a message.
That's what makes the argument that it actually
did happen. Exactly. Was it only for him, or was it for Klal Yisrael? Visual effects. So Koya Mashavi like Holach, I want you Holach. The word Holach is a very powerful word in this context. Vikoniso Lucha Ezar Pishtim, a linen belt. This Samto, and you shall put it al Mosnecha, gird it to your loins. Uva Mayim Lo Sidiehu, do not wash it in water. Now this is not at all clear what this means. We'll see the Radak, he doesn't know what this means. What do you don't put it on water? What do you mean? It means don't wash it? Then
wash it in water, it's shrinking.
So then the word is not the correct word. It should say the key base. The word, if over here the ma'im here refers to washing in water, then the word ma'im is not the correct word. It means usechabes, v'loy sechab, what's it, sechab, Sechabes, don't wash it. The word over here, the water is not the correct expression. So why? So therefore, there's something more to it. But some Mepharshim want to say is that if you know anything about the industry of linen, linen is soaked in water to make it hard. Exactly, to make it shrink, and it should become hard. But when it's done by the manufacturer before you have a finished product, they know how to do it. They do it the right way. It's pre-shrunk and done in a certain way in order to strengthen it. And also, part of the process, it smooths it out and removes the thorns. So Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, I want you to go buy a belt made from linen, but I don't want it to be 100% finished. I don't want to take it off the assembly line. Take it out of this before they get to the last part of the packaging where they treat it, they soak it in water for a short time in order to strengthen it before they release it to the market. I want the belt to be unfinished. I want it to be uncomfortable. Why? Because when it's, you don't soak it in water and you wrap it around your waist, it's painful. There are thorns which prick your thigh. That's what I want you to do. We'll see a little before and far from the moment. Of a mayalo sivia, do not bring it in water. The ekne eso ezer, I want you to go and I want you to purchase. So here we have another expression. First it says vikonisa. Now it says vo ekne eso ezer kedvar Hashem. Another expression. Hashem. Oh, I'm sorry. I bought it. I'm sorry. He did it. I did it. It is a fulfillment. It's not a command. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. It's not a command. It's a statement. I listened. Hashem told me to buy a belt. I bought a belt. I'm sorry. Hidvar Hashem. I girded it to my loins. Pasig dalet. Vayihidvar Hashem elai chain the slaymar. Kach es oez asher kunisa. Oh. Now that you bought the belt, you put it on your loins, I want you to go take it. Ashal Mosnecha, Vikum, get up, Lech Porasa, go to Pirasa. What's Pirasa? The Euphrates? Very unlikely. He's going to travel, he's in Yerushalayim, Yerimiyah. He's going to Bavel? Okay, so some say, yeah, I want you to go to Paras. I want you to travel a very far distance and tell everyone where you're going. Others say, no, I'm going. I mean, there was a place that is unknown to us in near Yerushalayim that is called Paras. It's known to us?
Well,
whatever, okay.
Now, or do you want to wait?
What?
From the Das Nikra.
Yeah.
He says, modern exegetes question God's commanding the prophet to go such a long distance to the Euphrates. Also, the description of the rocky terrain, which does not fit most of the banks of the Euphrates, they identify Pros with the town Hapara, mentioned in Yoshua. Today, this is known as Ein Al-Fara, approximately 5 kilometers from Anasos, and approximately 9 kilometers northeast of Yerushalayim. This location was chosen because of its similarity of its name to Pros, the Euphrates. This indicated that the Jews who were corrupted would eventually be exiled to Bavel, which is bounded by the Euphrates.
Okay, very good. So it's a place that's nearby. And I want you to bury, I want you to insert this belt into the cleft of a rock. Yirmiyah says, I did it. I went, I hid it bifros. Kasher tziva Hashem, I see. Vayihi miketz yomim rabim, vayom Hashem elai kum lech perasa, go to perasa, and retrieve the belt, retrieve this linen belt that is all sweated up, that you put around your loins, you didn't clean. I want you to go now and go where you found it. I want you to go and retrieve it. I went pirasa, I dug, and here's the point we want to make over here is vihine nishchas ha'ezar lo yitzlach lakol. It was disgusting. It withered. It was destroyed. It was rotted. It was not useful for anything. It had no function whatsoever. And this is going to be the mashal of Klal Yisrael, which we're going to see in a few moments. Because Rav is going to say that Klal Yisrael is compared to the belt. The belt is the pride and joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They got all dirty and sweated up. And therefore I'm going to take them to Bavel. I'm going to bury them in the Kikasela. And they're going to wither and rot there, and there'll be nothing left of them. Maybe this mashal will shake up the Jewish people. Now, obviously, there's a lot of symbolism, a lot of depth in this mashal. We have to go step by step. Let's start back with Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzudo Stavit first. Aleph. Pasuk says.
This mashal may not have happened.
Well.
It was just an allegorical story.
It's a musar. Watch out. If you don't behave yourself, this is what will happen to you. Okay, let's see. Let's see how the Mefarshim learn what happened. Pasuk Aleph. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, go on, when you go take an Ezra's belt. Chagura shel pishton, a belt made from linen. V'samtei al masnecha, and wrap it around your loins. L'man yimolei zeya v'maher lehar kif. I want it to become full of sweat so that it should hasten its deterioration. Next, I over my lo sivyanu lo sicha lo sichabsu linakoy soy min hazaya. The Mitzudos Tav explains the meaning over here of do not wash in water means after it gets all full of sweat and filth, I do not want you to wash and let it remain filthy. Then Hashem said to Yirmiyah, Shenis, fine, I did what he told me to do. Shenis, the second time, Dvar HaEzar, regarding the belt, I want you to go to the city of Parasa, Linahar Paras, Vitam Neusham. Titzpinu sham b'shein hasela. I want you to hide it, to bury it in the cleft of a rock. Before us, I went there, Eitzel Nahar Paras. Notice Rashi here says, we went to the Euphrates Mamish, the Mitzvah says Euphrates, for Echbar. I dug, Kiki Soba for Mimal, and I did it. Hashem then said, go retrieve it. I went to retrieve it. Guess what? V'nishchas hakol, it was niskalkel, v'nirkav, it was completely destroyed. Lo yitzlach lakol, lo hoyi roi l'shum dover, had absolutely no function whatsoever. Okay, let's see Rashi. Before we go into the message, Rashi Paskalif says, Ezar, over there, Avachol, what's that French word?
Poor son. Somehow meaning a girdle or belt.
Belt of Mamlo Sidianu, Lechab. So Rashi agrees with the Mitzvah that says, do not wash it. Kishahi mole zea, Kidesh Shayimaher Lirakev, it should rot quickly. Pasuk Zayin lo yitzlach lechol, Einoi roi leklom, he put it, he buried it, he came back to retrieve it. It deteriorated, had absolutely no function whatsoever. Radak, Pasuk Avkoyam Hashem, Inyin Ha'ezar, Evshar Shahoyim Mamish. Pashup Shad is, this was a real story. Hashem told Yirmiyah, I want you to do this. I want people to see. It's for real. Don't make any mistake about it. The Asad came Yirmiyah, Ma'ash Sivu Akel. The Hachachom Hagodol. The great man, the great wise man, the Moir Tzedek, Rambam. The Halak Rambam, Kosav Ki Bachaloim Shal Nuvu Hoya Kolamai Sahazeh. It never happened. This was a dream. Umash Amaloi, Uvamayim Lo Sidi Ehu. What does it mean over here? Second point. What does it mean that it should not put it in water? Lo Eda Bo Tam Adayin. The Radak says, I don't yet. I like that expression. Rashi says, I do not know many times. Which seems to me, I don't know today and I don't know tomorrow. I will never know what this means. But the Radak, I don't know. Rashi says, I don't know, which basically doesn't say he will. He's not saying not yet. I like Radak says, I have not yet figure this out. I have confidence that the day will come when I will figure this out. Lo eda bo tam adayin. The im ritzon eloi mashlo yichab seyu. You want to go sit like Rashi and the Mitzvah and wash it? Acha shechogo yomim elo yichagreyu elo yichargeyu mazeya. And it means you should wear it with sweat, like what Rashi says. The Mitzvah says lo malo yamalo lo yichab seyu. What are you beating around the bush? The word mayim is not the right word. The pasuk should say the word yichab seyu. Everything else is clear. Uperash b'nikik hasela, it means b'chor hasela, the rock, the hole in the rock, which means the cleft. The yogam tirgin bish ius keif gilei, we'll leave that for a moment, we'll read the targum in a moment. Umash amar sheyelechim lehar paros, letam leisham, this that he said to go to the har paros, to go bury it there, ki lefishu gvul eretz yisrael, that's the boundary, which in a loymar, ki kishi yatsum eretz yisrael, lebovel yishaches goinam. This is a mashal. So he finally explains that this is a mashal for Klal Yisrael, that their pride will deteriorate, will rot when they go to Babel. Lo yitzlach lachol l'shum davar. Kamal kol melacha lo yisasu shum melacha kol chel v'chodam shum chel v'shundam. They have absolutely no success. Okay, let's see the targum on these psukim. Well, how we learned this mashal? Yes. No, he doesn't say his opinion. He says, he quotes both opinions. He quotes the opinion that he first says it did happen, and then he says the Rambam says it never happened. It was a nevuah. He's just presenting both opinions. The Radakah doesn't seem to be taking sides. He's just presenting what the Rambam says. Let us see what it says in the Targum. Targum says, "Kid Nan Omer Hashem li, so did Hashem say to me, Ezel, I want you to go to Sizbunlach Zerez." Dichtein, I want you to go buy a belt of linen. Usisha vinei al chartzach, and I want you to put on your gird your loins. Uvemaya lo soaline, do not bring it into water. So far, he did not tell us any chidushim that we did not already know, at least and simply. Next, uzavineya zarza, I purchased the belt. Kipiskama de Hashem, like Hashem's command. Vishavise al chartzir, I put on my loins. Pasuk Gimel. V'hava piskam devuah minakodem Hashem, I mean tinyanus limimar. Hashem spoke to me a second time saying. Pasuk Dalet. Saf, take. Yas zarza, I want you to take the belt, which you have, the Zeinta di al chartzach, which you have girded to your loins. The kome zil frost. I want you to go to frost. Ute marhit saman b'shi'ayus keif gilei, and I want you to hide it in. I want you to hide it in the cleft of the rock that is revealed. Okay. Now he adds one word. He adds bishirus means in the cleft. That's a hole. Kaif is a rock. But this is another word that he's adding in, which is not everyone agrees to this. Gilei, it should be exposed. Allow the belt to be exposed to the elements. Pasuk Hey. I went. I did what Hashem told me. It was after many days.
Excuse me. As far as the Radakah portion of mine, isn't mine often referred? Isn't the Torah often referred to as mine?
Oh, so you want to say it's some symbolism?
You get sweated out, you know, from a bears, and they don't do tshuva.
It's symbolic that they don't do Mayim. Holy called someone, so you're saying a pshat, beautiful pshat. You're saying a beautiful pshat is that this belt represents Klal Yisrael. They're filthy, dirty from Averos, from the Zeya, which represents Averos. Mayim lo huva, and there's no water, that then there's no Allah of the Horetz. Sheloi berchoi ba Torah tchil. Exactly, beautiful. They didn't study Torah. They had no appreciation for Torah. There is no mayim. They have not cleansed their sins with the koyach of Torah. Beautiful. You're saying a Jewish and what it means, the significance of what it means. The belt has no water. Very good, fantastic. Let's go to the next targum. Pasuk Hey in the targum. Va'azolas, I went. Utsamartei bifros. K'modi v'Hashem. Pasuk Vav in the targum. V'havo, it was misoif yamin sagin after many days. V'amar Hashem li Hashem said to me, kum, get up. Ezil lefros. Go to pros. V'saf, take me tamon from there. Yas zarzod bel di fakedta. Limit mirei tamon, which I've commanded you to put there. Pasuk Zayin. Va'azoleis lefros, I went to fros. V'chaforeis, I dug. Unisivei, I took yazarza min asho dit martei utamon, which I hid there. V'ho ischabel zarza. The belt had been destroyed. Chavala, been destroyed, deteriorated. Les beit seroich l'chol midoam. It had no function whatsoever. Absolutely no use whatsoever. Okay, the words of the Targum are all pretty much translation. The only thing that strikes me as being unique is with Gilei, which means that it should be an exposed area. It was not covered. If you'd cover L'chayra, maybe it would protect it from the elements. It would not get harmed, maybe the other way around. By covering in the ground, the earth would cause it to get decay even quicker, but over here he says that it was exposed.
So okay, Zarza, that's the word that means belt?
Yes.
Interesting. Zariz means to
gird yourself. Diligence.
Right.
Zrizin makdim ilamitzus. Get into action. Enochanami. Now, what is this symbolism? So, over here in the Arshad, there's one thing I came across that caught my attention from Rabbi Breuer. Rabbi Breuer says that the belt represents morality. We all know that you're not allowed to daven unless you have a belt, the mafresh, a gartel, mafresh between your heart and the and your erva, and that's halach that everyone has to follow. No matter even you're a chassid, you're not a chassid. And the only reason why we don't among us wear a gartel is because we rely upon our belt that we're actually wearing. If you wear a belt today, you know, I don't know if you know that the style today is not to wear belts. It's a new style. You see the yeshiva bachurim, they wear the dark black. They know a lot of them. They don't wear belts. I asked this yeshiva bachur, how come? No, it's a new style. Styles change. I noticed that many of these guys are not wearing belts. I asked one guy, why? How come all you guys are not wearing belts? So he said, that's the new style today. You don't wear a belt. Ask around. Ask your grandchildren if it's true.
Years ago, it was a style.
Suspenders.
Yeah, sure. The yeshiva boys, they have the nicest glasses. They have the nicest clothing. Sure, sure. Yeshiva boys, some of them.
That's what they're supposed to be above
that
nonsense.
No.
It's all the same. Okay, but the point over here is, he told him that what is a belt? So we know halacha, you have to be mavil between the lave and the erva. So, oh, you have a gartel. Look at that. You have a gartel. Okay. Okay, so we rely upon either the elastic of our undergarments, or upon wearing an actual belt. So all of these things are sufficient as a belt. But
a separate guard, the top and bottom is a separate piece.
Doesn't matter.
In those days, you would
I don't think it makes a difference. You still have to have some type of hefsek between the two. So why? Because it represents morality. It represents that a person recognizes that the erva, which represents the area of the body, which represents taiva, desire, is under control. It's under control. We are moral people. We don't let our desires overtake us. That's what it represents. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has complained to Klal Yisrael that their morality has sunk to a level that is unacceptable. And that is why this entire mashal is a belt. Take the belt which represents symbolic of morality, put it on, it's going to become filthy. That means that there are no morals among the Jewish people. There is a breakdown, a breach in Sneus, a breach in Agili Arayas, and all of the matters that relate to Taiva, the Koyach of Taiva. And I want you to take it, I want you to go bury it, Benikike Hasela, and let it rot there. Now also, furthermore, what's the significance of Benikike Hasela? So the commentators tell us who was told to stand in the cleft of the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to him the ultimate revelation, Hareini no es kivoydecha. Hashem told Moshe, you can't see my full glory, but whatever it's possible for a human being to understand, I will reveal to you. You're going to see, and it's going to be b'nikike hasela. So the symbolism over here is that you're going to rot in the nikike hasela. I'm going to take you back to your source. Klal Yisrael, where do we derive our kedusha? Moshe Rabbeinu who gave us the Torah. He's the one that taught the Rabban Shel Kol Yisrael, who taught us the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he received in the Kike Hasala. Hashem says, you rot into the core. And what I'm focusing on is on the morality of Klal Yisrael. It's filthy. It has not been cleansed with Mayim, as you mentioned, Torah. And it's now going to be, we're going to have it decay further in the Nikiki Hasela to show my unhappiness, my disapproval of everything that you do for. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message, which is going to come and bring out here in the next few psukim. One message I want to just go point out before we conclude is that the reason why Yirmiyah was upset that he could not put in water is because it was bothering him, because it was thorny. It was thorny. The belt, if you don't take the belt and you process it in water, there are thorns in the flax. And it caused Yirmiyah much pain, because the nature of the belt is to wrap it tightly against your flesh. So Hashem says, good Yirmiyah, I want you to suffer. Your suffering is symbolic of the thorns of the Klal Yisrael, their thorns. and it's specifically at the time of when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And this refers to a very unique medrash. I never saw this before until I prepared this. Is that when Klal Yisrael crossed the Yarden to come into Eretz Yisrael, the only ones that were circumcised were Shevet Levi. Everyone else in Klal Yisrael did not yet have circumcision. That's why when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they had to have a bris milah before they went for the Korban Pesach. When the Yarden saw that the Bnei Yisrael were not circumcised, the Yarden wanted to drown Klal Yisrael because they were not circumcised. They were not Meisa Nefesh to do bris milah. So Hashem said, "I'll do for you a miracle. Everyone should gather in between the Badim of the Aron." The Aron was being taken forth, was being taken through the Yarden by the Levium, and those who stood between the Badim would protect them from drowning. So there was a miracle that occurred, that the entire Klal Yisrael miraculously was able to fit between the Badim. Have you heard this message before? I never heard this before.
Those who were born in the
death,
in the Midbar, they weren't circumcised.
Okay, the ones who were born before. So the people that were born before did not come into Eretz Yisrael. They all died in the Midbar.
Right.
The only ones that were coming into Eretz crossing the Yarden were the only people that were born in the Midbar. Right. And all of these did not have bris milah. Their excuse was that we're surrounded by the Anani HaKavod and we don't have the environment. It's not safe. It's not safe to, you need it. And that was the traveler was not safe because the wind was not blowing. It was an excuse. The excuse was a legitimate excuse, but they really, Chazal criticized that it should have been Meiser Nefesh to do the Bris Milah anyway. Anyway, they should do Bris Milah. That's one of the arguments they have about Bris Milah, is Bris Milah by nature is dangerous. It's dangerous. That's the Metzius. It's a surgical procedure. It is dangerous. So when there's an additional danger. Let's say the tzitzim. Another risk. Let's say, what about the tzitzim ha'ma'akvim? I'm chaining ma'akvim. A moil does a bris milah, and he does 95%, but there are some tzitzim. There are some bits of flesh that are not ma'akev, and they have not been removed. Is he required to go back and take over those tzitzim ma'akvim? So many will argue, listen, what are you doing to this poor child? He's already in sakana. He's already in a matzah sakana. You want to go endanger him more? You yoytze bris milah. Why should you go back and take off more tzitzim? More particles of flesh? So the answer is, well, the whole nature of the bris milah is sakonis nefashos. And Hashem told us to do the bris milah. So if you're going to do the bris milah, do it right. Do it 100%. Don't cop out and say, listen, I did 95% of the bris milah. No, enough sakana. It's not kedai to put the baby in more sakana to go and finish the job 100%. It's kosher. You're right, it is kosher. But the excuse that you're prolonging the sakana is not 100% illegitimate. Legitimate excuse, as long as it's not bikoch nefesh, as long as there's a very, very, because the whole nature of the bris milah is one that involves sakana, and Hashem said to put yourself in sakana to do the bris milah. In the Midbar, they had a good excuse, but there was a tevia, there was a time they should have still done the bris milah, even though the conditions were not 100% right. When they crossed over the Yarden, the Medrash says that the Yarden wanted to drown the Bnei Yisrael for not having a bris milah. A miracle happened, and the Badim, they gathered between the Badim, and somehow this it also requires explanation. What is the symbolic significance of the Badim protected Klal Yisrael? But somehow being in between the Badim was served as a protection, and they did not drown. Hashem says when they all crowded around the Aron, there was so much pushing and shoving to save their lives that their foreskins rubbed against the Aron HaKodesh. Listen to this medrash. And when those foreskins, when they pushed and shoved around the Aron, rubbed, to me, Hashem says, it was like a thorn pricking my side. Because the Aron is the makam of the Hashra Sashchina, and these individuals failed to perform bris milah. They were now crowding around the Aron to be protected from the Yarden, and they were pressing against the Aron without a bris milah. It was a thorn in my side. Therefore, you, Yirmiyah, you're going to suffer because of that. You're going to put on a belt which has thorns, and it's going to prick you, so you should have a sensitivity to the tsar that I had when Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael. This is what it says in the Medrash. I never heard such a Medrash before. It is to be found in Ovo Agodas Bereshis Yud Zayin Aleph. Okay, if I want you to be Hayardin Yisav Liyoch Amalacham Yoshua Hine Aron Bris Aron Kol Ziyad. I'm running through the words over here. V'hayu Shishim Riboy Oimdim Bein Shnei Bade Aron V'chaviyachol Hayu Me'aktsin Es Ha'Aron Be'Or Lo Sam. They even quote in the art school, I believe. And then in the art school, he quotes this medrash. The Heichon Perush Shel Davar. And where do you see this? The medrash says, where do you see this? This pasuk that we just learned today. Haloich, you hear me, I want you to go. V'konizloch ezar pishtim uvamayim lois v'yehu. Why do I demand that you not go and wash in water? Shloi ninar pishton shalom. Ela im hakoitzim shaloi. The thorns should be with it. V'samtoi al mosnecha v'ayim akeitz li Yirmiyahu. He was pricking Yirmiyahu. Amal v'ani b'ani shalom koitzim yesh boi. V'ayim aksin I see. It's torture. This belt is full of thorns. I can't take it. V'ani mitzta'er. Amal v'akadosh baruch hu. V'loi kochosu b'bonai b'yardein. Kishichnasti yosam b'in shnei b'adil. Aron v'ayim aksin as aron. They were ma'aksin. They were pricking the oroin be'orlosom kikoitzim like thorns. Shenemar ki kasha yidbako ezar, like we're going to have tomorrow and bilinid, we'll go on to this later on. It's going to prick. Very interesting this medrash. So I want to let you know that this idea is a fascinating idea. There are stories with Gedolei Yisrael. I can't give you names, but there are some legitimate true story. Oh, I think the Orachaim. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh, he wrote it about himself. And it's not something to laugh about. It's mamash to Yisiv, but this Maisa, he was attacked by a lion. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. He wrote about himself, B'chayav. He was attacked by a lion, and the lion was going to devour him. And he showed the lion his bris milah. And when he saw the bris milah, the lion went away, and he was saved. Now, obviously, it won't work. Don't try this at home. don't draw. What? Eretz Yisrael?
Yes. He was buried there.
Yeah. He was buried? I don't know. You have to Google the story. Google this story. I believe this is a true story.
I thought that any unauthorized contact with the Aron would have resulted in
death. This was unusual circumstances. They were drowning. And the ones that had no sakana were the ones that had bris milah. The ones that had sakana were the ones that had bris milah. And they needed to come onto the Badei HaShul Baran. You see this concept that the ois bris milah is kodesh. I'm sure it only works with Rachaim who lived. The meaning of what it means, ois bris kodesh, and he was spared. It's a parallelism, a car for this and this medish. All right, let us stop over here.